Today on Real Radio.
Is Jesus in me or the Holy Spirit in me? He said that he was going to leave, but send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would be in me. Then he says, I won't leave you orphaned. I'll be in you. What's the answer? Are you ready? The answer is yes.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. Well, we've arrived at the last chapter of this epistle, chapter 13, and the apostle is offering up some closing remarks to the reader, including the fact that the Holy Spirit is, quote, in the regenerated believer. And that is indeed some good news. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, Is Jesus Christ in You?
If you can't experience God in your life and be able to say that the Christian faith is experiential, if you can't say that, then I suggest you leave today while you still have time to get to the bars before they close and drink yourself into oblivion, and maybe I'll be right next to you if this ain't true. We would definitely proclaim, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But if it's true, it changes everything. And so, have you experienced him? The word examine yourself here is exactly based on that word. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. This word means this, the acid test. It's what the assayer does at the gold office where they pour acid on precious metals to see if it can take the test. The acid test, we would use it. The word means to have the desire to endeavor or to continue on. It means to be scrutinized and to go about. It means to look up one side and down the other. That's what the Corinthians were doing to Paul, by the way. They were criticizing him by examining him. Paul's not afraid of it. It means to confirm the reality of a statement. Church, everyone you know, everyone I know should be able to look at me, look at you up one side and down the other and still conclude we're Christians. There's no escaping this. The Bible says, examine yourselves. Paul is telling them, look, you've been examining me. You've been criticizing me. You've been attacking me. Hey, Corinthians, I have a wild concept. You examine yourself. Do you hear him? Do you hear him? You're pointing your finger at me? Stop. The one who led you to Christ, you discredit my ministry and my apostleship? Why don't you examine yourself? Look in the mirror. Get alone with God. Open the Bible. Look inside yourself. Ask yourself some questions. Are you for real? That's what he's saying. Have you experienced Christ? In Psalm 139, the psalmist, King David, mentions the same thing from Psalm 139, 23. He says, search me, O God. You ever hear that? Of course. He's inviting God in. And know my heart. He's saying to God, look inside of me. Try me. That's his word of saying, I'm asking you to discover or to uncover anything in me. And know my anxieties is the word in Hebrew. It means, where am I not trusting you, God? Things that I worry about and I'm not committing to you. Know my anxieties, Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me, anything unpleasing that I'm tolerating in my life, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Oh, man. That's the Christian's life. Please listen. Are you guys listening? I'm pumped up because you know what? This is serious stuff. This is not church today. This is life. If today you're sitting and you go, yeah, whatever, I'll catch you next week. Look, here's the thing. You've got to know if you're a Christian or not. Well, my wife's a Christian. She's going and you're not. Well, my grandmother's a Christian. God bless her. I'll see her in heaven. I'll send her your regards. But are you going to go? Don't look to somebody else. As I've said before, I say it again. God has children. He has no grandchildren. No one comes in on your coattails. Do you know him? Have you experienced him? Examine yourself. I can't do it for you. You cannot do it for me. The real Christian with real faith gets alone, asks God questions. Am I for real? How am I doing, God? Can you send me a report card, a progress report on our relationship, Jesus? Ladies and gentlemen, church family, if you forget everything I say, don't forget this. Ask him. Get alone. turn off the phone, throw out the iPad, turn off the TV, get away from family and friends and enemies, in-laws and outlaws alike, get alone and say, oh God in heaven, how are we doing? If you are not doing that, then you are quite possibly being deceived by the busyness of life and the noise. C.S. Lewis writes in Screwtape Letters, keep it noisy. Satan's the author of noise. The verse makes a grand assumption. Number one, you can know that you're saved and going to heaven. Number two, you can at any time check your spiritual progress. Number three, you can make any corrections necessary as needed. God will speak to you. That's what that verse implies. And he says, as to whether you are in the faith. Three verses, very quickly. Here's proof to confirm your relationship with God. Are you guys ready? Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself, Holy Spirit, bears witness with our human spirit, the born again us, that we are children of God. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, you're my child. This news is getting more important as the days get worse, ladies and gentlemen. If the ground opens up and swallows up people, if there's a war, if there's a biological attack, if there's a heart attack, know this now, that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you saying, you're my girl or you're my boy. Know it. 1 John 5:13, this is the verse I paraphrased earlier. I love this verse, 1 John 5:13. These things, John says, I have written who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Don't let any religion or anyone tell you you can't know until you're dead. That is a demonic, satanic statement. The Bible says you must know before you die if you have eternal life. Can you imagine? Oh, I'm dead. Now I need to find out. Too late, at the moment of death, you enter your new house, wherever it may be. The decision is to be made now, and the Bible says you're to know it, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Secondly, under this point, real faith is transformative. Transformative. Circle the word test. Test yourselves. This is a command. Test yourself, Corinthians. Test yourself, Californians. Test yourself, Chino Hillians. The word means to expose yourself, to allow yourself to be reviewed. It's like to be reviewed on parade or a military inspection. It means to present yourself for examination. Why would you do that? You do that in confidence because you've experienced a transformation. Church, I'm not going to belabor this. I'm going to give you one verse and we're going to move on. This is an awesome verse, though, I must admit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, you can hear him, listen, you can hear Paul. Therefore, you can see little Paul with his little arms. You can see him go like this. Therefore, I'm telling you the truth. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You can see that little bony body of his in victory saying, therefore. Therefore, what? Everything about our lives, BC. You know BC? Yeah, before Christ. Has been done away. God removes it, and he makes all things new in your life. You say, yeah, but I still have memories about my horrific past. Good. I'm glad, me too. The cool thing is now they don't control me. I use them. I use them to thank God. I use them to keep me on the straight and narrow, reminded me of how ridiculous it used to be. Don't be afraid of the past like that. Put it where it belongs. Don't let it be out front of your life and still cloud your decisions. No, look at the past and say, hey, I'm a new creation in Christ. Everything has become new in Jesus. And I take this memory And now it no longer rules me. I rule it. And I say, Lord, you're awesome. You deliver me from this. All these things that cause me pain, abuse, rejection, whatever it is, thank you, God, that all of those things, the exact opposite of who you are, you've accepted me, you have forgiven me, you want me, you've taken good care of me. Thank you, God. Use them. What the enemy hands you, turn it around, and in Christ, shove it in his face. For sure. Thirdly, under this point, real faith is quantitative. That means you can measure it, you can touch it, you can record it. He says, do you not know yourselves? Oh, this is strong. Come on, Corinthians. Don't you know that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you hear that? He's so strong, this little man of great faith. Unless indeed you are disqualified. See, they were accusing him. They were suggesting that he was disqualified. He's turning it on them. You little fault finder, you. You little sin sniffer. I tell you what, why don't you look at yourself? And why don't you figure something out? Don't you know that Christ is in you? Unless you're disqualified. Unless you're not saved at all. He's not saying they lost their salvation. He's suggesting to them, you better know it. Because if you don't know, you ain't got it. You don't lose it. You never had it to begin with. Oh man, he's laying it down. Verse 6, he's so kind to them. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. This is a very, I wish we had time. See verse 6, that part of verse 6? I could spend forever on this. This probably doesn't surprise you, but he's so sweet, even in his rebuke. He's saying, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified, meaning this. You guys have been trying to discredit my ministry and that I'm not of God. The fact of the matter is, I led you to Christ. So for your own comfort, hello, be happy that I'm not disqualified, because if I'm disqualified, then you were never saved in the first place. Isn't that great? This guy, you could have been an attorney, this guy. So he says, it's pretty evident by your argument that I'm not disqualified, because that would make you disqualified. Brilliant. Touch and feel. Look and see. This is for real. Third and final point, verses 7 through 8. Is Jesus Christ in you, my friend, listening today? If that's true, then his work is in you. His work is in you. Verse 7, we learn this, that his work is at work to liberate. This is kind of amazing in light of what's happened this week in the world. He says in verse 7, now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved. He's making this statement, listen, don't do evil, Corinthians. We on this end don't want to come off as being correct, because we're wondering about your salvation as you criticize us. If you live a life of evil, doing evil, that's a sad thing. Don't do that. Rather, let the work of God continue to liberate your life. Don't say anything. Don't raise your hand. Can you remember when God began a work in your life? Can you be? Do you remember a time? Listen, maybe you're here, but maybe there's people right now listening in or driving somewhere or listening podcast or whatever. And you can say today, I remember when Jesus was at work in my life. And now he's not? Why not? Why not when he's the great liberator? He's the one that sets us free. Why are you back in the weeds? Or in the weed? Why are you no longer drunk on the Holy Spirit, but drunk at the bar? Why are you no longer in the arms of Jesus, but in the arms of some other woman or some other man? What's going on with you? No matter where you're at this morning, can you say that God once did a work in your life? I suggest you run to him now and be liberated and be set free. Because God is at work. His work is at work within you. This week, have you seen what's going on? You know, thank God for technology. I thank God for technology. It's how we deal with it. And we had a good report this week. There were people in Britain, British citizens, and there were Americans working for Samaritan's Purse, for Franklin Graham, who, by technology God gave, they were injected with the, what, antibodies or the serum to fight Ebola, right? While others in Africa are dying, or others who have gone back to their countries that are poor, listen, poor countries cannot have technology, short lifespans, they don't have the technology, they don't have the money. They're dying because of Ebola. But the wealthy nations, with ability to invest in technology, develop these amazing cures, and what happened? They were injected with this answer to the pollution, to the poison, yeah? And it defeated the poison within them. And not only did they live, but they are now being introduced back to their families, back into the culture. They get to be normal people. What on earth happened? They were liberated. I can say today, we are S-I-N positive. And God injects the gospel to a willing heart. And it goes through your system and it begins to attack that poisonous evil that is killing you. There's no cure. But through God's technology that comes from the blood of Christ, the serum is injected and you are forgiven. He liberates. He liberates. Secondly, his work is at work to empower us. He says, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. You guys may look at us and mock us and all, but the bottom line is this: do the right thing, Corinthians. I love this statement, church. Paul is saying, what I'm telling you is so true. You don't think we're right with God? So leave us alone. Do the right thing. See, listen. The fault finders can never do that kind of stuff, people. Fault finders are picking on people. Listen, I'm going to let you in on a secret. You know any people in your life that's legalistic? They're telling you how to live your Christian life? I got news for you. They'll never tell you this. You'll find out eventually. I'll tell you right now. They tell you how to live your life. And in secret, they are the most filthy. They'll tell you, you need to be more like me and like us guys. And they are filthy in their private life. It's inseparable. Why? Well, because first of all, there's a level of arrogance with self-justification. It breeds pride and legalism. That is manifested publicly by looking down their nose at you and I. And it has a very, very poisonous feature. It begins to get into the thinking of, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm right with God. And obviously, God knows that we're all sinners, but we're forgiven. And so I'll tell people how to live their lives, and I'll live mine. And what they do in secret, God knows. And one of the things that's manifested is a life that is not honorable to God. And for those who are walking in the Spirit, it's not honorable to them either because they can see right through it. Verse 8 is worthy to stand on its own, for we can do nothing against the truth. Oh, listen, I couldn't wait to get here. But for the truth, what does he mean? Are you sitting down? Paul says, here's the bottom line. Forget about me, Paul. Forget about you, Corinthians. Forget about it all. Here's the bottom line. Bottom line is you can attack the truth all you want. It ain't going anywhere. You want to look at my life, Paul says to them? I'm not the standard. Oh, and I'm going to look at your life, Corinthians? You're not the standard. Here's the truth, if you like it or not. You can't do anything against the truth. It's God's eternal. Listen, friends, the truth is eternal because it's from God. And you hear people. You hear learned educated people spouting off their silliness. Do you know how smart you are? Listen to you. Listen to me talk about you. Do you know how smart you are? Listen, I encourage you, go to YouTube and type in, for example, Christopher Hitchens or Richard Dawkins. Listen to them. These are the guys that all the unbelieving brains rally behind. They are the spokesperson people of the intelligentsia of the world. They speak for us. As a Christian, I go, and I'm dumb. And I'll go there, and I'll click on, and I'll listen to them talk. And because you and I have Bible truth, we listen to them. You saw Dawkins, maybe you saw Richard Dawkins this week talk about how all babies, people who are pregnant with Down syndrome babies, and babies that aren't going to be perfect, need to abort those babies. This is one of the smartest guys in the world. And I read that and I just go, poor, poor, silly man. Do you know what I'm talking about? They make statements. And you, hundreds and billions and quadzillion trillions of years ago, I laugh at that. I laugh. And I'm not the only one. The Bible says that he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Because I want to shout back at Dawkins and say, were you there? How do you know? Well, a scientist told me. But I thought you're the smartest guy in the world. How can you learn anything when you're the smartest guy in the world? No, you know what? You're so smart as a Christian because the Holy Spirit is in you. If Jesus Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit, listen, is in you by orders of Jesus himself. Jesus said, my dear, dear disciples, I must leave you now. I have to go. Because if I do not go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. But if I go, I will send him to you. For up until now, he has been with you and shall be in you. I go now, but I will not leave you orphaned. Listen to the words. I will come to you. Wait, I'm confused, Jack. Is Jesus in me or the Holy Spirit in me? He said that he was going to leave, but send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would be in me. Then he says, I won't leave you orphaned. I'll be in you. What's the answer? Are you ready? The answer is yes. Go home and figure that one out.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, Is Jesus Christ in You? It's a look at the first 8 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 of this New Testament letter. Again, Is Jesus Christ in You is the title, and it's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this week marks the end of this fascinating collection of studies through 2 Corinthians, and I gotta say, this series has been filled with insight for me, as I'm sure it has been for you as well. And since we've had quite a number of Real Radio listeners call in and ask about it, we've decided to make an offer. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you all the MP3s of the entire series on one USB drive. I'm going to say that again. We'll send you all of the MP3s of this series of 2 Corinthians, all on one USB drive for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now call, click, or write, just mention it by name, 2 Corinthians, on the USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact can be easily found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.